Thank you, Lord. This is Wednesday evening, 6/1/22. I'm just going. All right. This is called Who is the Strong Man? We're going to look at some different stuff tonight. We're going to first look at the three reference scriptures where the strong man's listed in the Gospels. First one is Matthew 12:29. Jesus had just healed a man that had a devil, blind and dumb, healed him. And they were accusing him of Satan being Satan. He said, you know, Satan, if you cast out Satan, you know, what's the kingdom divided against itself? Then in 28, he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. Okay, next reference is in Mark 3. He says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. All right, third reference is Luke 11:22. Well, let's start with 20 there. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Okay. I want you to notice here, he doesn't say strong spirit, strong principality, or strong power. He said, a strong man. All right? There is a link between the spiritual and the natural. Think about that. There's a link. All right. We cannot successfully take out a spiritual entity without taking out the earthly situation also. This area really, I think, was going to help us in our praying and as we start to spiritual map and target. All right, the spiritual entity works through the earthly leader or situation. See, he's the one holding our goods. All right, now let's go to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to see some examples. This is 1 Samuel 17:40. This is David. And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Verse 38 is very significant. Why? Well, what caught my attention is verse 38, too. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Well, brass represents humanity. All right. David didn't just pick up one stone. He took up five. Why do you suppose that is? Well, we're going to look at it. He picked up five. In Gath, there are four other leaders, the brothers, the giants of Gath. See, God told them to go in, and they were to take out the Philistines. All right, we're going to keep looking at that. All right, 2 Samuel 21. 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt no more go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shebekiah the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jarir Oregim a Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So David didn't just aim that day to take out one authority, but he wanted to take it all out, the whole network. Think about that. 5 stones. All right. I have here, I don't know what I was thinking there. Okay, let's go to Judges. I think that's what I mean here, Judges. Judges 3. Yeah, starting at verse 3 here. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites had dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandment of the Lord, which he commanded their father by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. So, all I can do is put this in kind of where we sit today. See, they didn't take out the authorities. All right. David didn't just want to make a dent. He wanted to take out the whole network. Notice that Jesus said, strong man. Our target is certainly, as Ephesians 6 says, against demonic entities. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right? We're going to see some other areas in Scripture. The new church had to deal with a wicked leader. And I believe they dealt with it in the spirit, the natural leader. And then it took out the demon behind. See, who's holding your goods? Is it the devil? Not really. It's the Rothschilds. You get what I'm saying? Owns all the central banks, owns everything, hand in every pie. We pay our taxes to them, the Crown Corporation, the beast system. This is the strong man. These are the people that are holding our goods. And there's demonic entities, principalities and powers that are pulling the strings and making these people serve them and do their bidding. Just like the ites. Did God tell David, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it? No. He had to go in and they had to kill him all off. All right, the church had to deal with this. This is Acts chapter 12. I'm just putting it to you the kind of the way the Lord put it to me. All right. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers kept the door, keepers before the door kept the prison. Let me just say something right here. If it's true that all of these people are still in prison, jail, since January 6th, who have done nothing, why are we reacting in the flesh and being so outraged? That's not how the church takes care of its problems. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has set his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. So it tells me these people were praying in the spirit. They didn't really know what they were praying, probably, but they were praying God's will concerning freeing Peter and also dealing with Herod. Because why would they say that? And Peter continued knocking, and when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren, and departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sodom, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So I personally believe they were interceding for the situation, not just, you know, what was happening to Peter, but also this wicked leader, this strong man that was coming against the church and that was killing members of the church. All right? See how important intercession is? In fact, we don't know what they spoke in English. We don't know. God might have given them instructions. I mean, right here in verse 13. Now, when they were in the church, there was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. See, this church operated by the Spirit. They didn't hold rallies. They didn't go out there and protest. They prayed it in throughout the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost gave them instructions. Okay. Here are the five Philistia kings. 1, Gaza. 2, Ashdod. 3, Ascalon. 4, Gath. And 5, Ekron. These were five Philistia or Philistine kingdoms that had giants. David took out Gath. All right. These were the natural leaders that were used by demonic entities over Israel. Yep. These are the ones Israel had to take out, and there was a warning that came with it if they did not take them out. All right, this is Numbers 33:55. I read this many times to y'all. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. What are the white hats waiting on? They're waiting on the patriots to stand up and usurp their authority. We the people. That's really what they're waiting on. They're hoping that enough stuff will happen to make people so enraged that they stand up and start taking things back. And that's what started to happen. Well, we're just buying the devil and just going about our way. Well, that's good, but that's only taking care of half the problem. We've been taught you just take out that entity and there's no more this. No, there's a natural embankment and network set up. The beast system is a natural system. Now they get their power from Satan himself, but it is a natural system that we're dealing with today. All right, when you know who the natural leader is, you bind that straw man and then go straight for the jugular and take out the demonic entity with it. See, when this natural leader loses its authority in the earth, so does Satan. Right? All right. Let's read some stuff. I'm going to look in the book of Daniel because we see a little bit of this. It talks about the Prince of Tyre. He wasn't just talking about a demonic entity. He was talking about an actual Prince of Tyre. All right. This is Daniel chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Sedekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face has the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my countenance was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly loved, and understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. I mean, let me give you another scenario I didn't even put down here. Whenever the handwriting on the wall, what happened there? There was a natural leader being taken out, and a godly one replaced, Cyrus. That kingdom was overthrown. Babylon was overthrown. All right. Chapter 11. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. So these kingdoms, all of the statue, all the way down to the toes of clay and iron. Are we just be passive in this? I don't think so. Daniel was always interceding for his nation because they were in exile. Are we in exile? Yeah, we are. Okay, Daniel 7. Go back a few. 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which is diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Sounds like to me we're going to inherit the kingdom because we've taken the kingdom. Not, well, you know, God's just going to come down and just kill them all, and he's going to do it all, and we're just going to stand and watch. I don't think so. We're very active participants in this end time event. Can you see how it works? Let's see. Revelation 13 is really just basically what Daniel said. verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, which means out of multitudes of people, sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. What are the 7 heads? I believe it's the 7 mountains of influence. Rome, the Vatican, sits on the 7 hills. You know what I'm saying? City of 7 hills. The 10 horns. These are 10 authorities, 10 crowns, kings. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. He has an authority on earth that's ruling over the earth right now. The dragon gave him his authority. Satan has a network. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The mainstream media is this mouth of this system. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ears, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is a duo, Antichrist and false prophet. He had 2 horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I put here paperclip. You know, all this started about that time. And he causes all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man buy or sell. Say, he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I heard something today that was very interesting. From the United Nations to the Georgia Guidestones is exactly 666 miles. You think they don't have it all planned out? All right, let's keep going here. All right. We see this. We see these principalities and powers giving power to men on earth to execute his plan. What are the white hats doing right now? They're taking out these natural leaders. Trump's executive orders, two of them, is exactly right in plan with this. Confiscating all their goods. Taking everything that they've taken from us away. It's taken a long time. All right. Then Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen, has fallen. What do you think we're doing, guys? We're taking out Babylon. One creep at a time, as the Lord shows us what to do. Now, I'm talking natural leaders. If it all was just spiritual, we'd probably have it made. If we dealt with a demonic entity and they just disappeared or something, wouldn't that be great? But unfortunately, they're still there and they have to be dealt with. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because it made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, well, you know, the people underground, their mark is going off where they can pick it up on Bluetooth. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. These natural people are going into the lake of fire. The false prophet and the Antichrist are going in the lake of fire. The devil's going to be sealed in a pit. And he'll later go into the lake of fire. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Sounds like the ones that took the mark go in there too. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. See, the remnant brought them down. Those that are sealed. I'm not so sure they don't know who we are, because we've got a special seal that we can't see, but we are sealed and they know who we are. I believe the white hats know who we are, and I believe the black hats know who we are. Most definitely. Because everybody else, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that I believe are going to make it, but they're Christians, but they don't know anything. They don't know how to do warfare. They don't know how to take out, cause Babylon to come down. All right, I want to read you a scripture. This is over in Ezekiel 28, verse 2. He said, "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas." See, this is amidst men. "Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." So we got two things to deal with here, the natural and the spiritual. All right, so what am I saying here? We have mainly been taught that you just go after the devil, and that takes care of all of it. But I think you can plainly see here, to be more effective in our praying, we must do some research and find out the background behind our leaders. Maybe find out the culture, find out the past history of why we face the demonic entities that we face out here. What went on? Yeah. Are they Satan's strong men? Or are they on the side of right? Where do they sit? Just because you say you're Republican nowadays doesn't mean anything. All right? If so, they are to be dealt with as the Spirit leads, just like the church interceding over the wicked Herod. We want our prayers to be successful. We want the head of authority taken out. Taken out. All right. Revelation 19, 12. See, David cut off the head of the giant. That's taken out the authority. And that's how we take out the authority. Cut off the head of the giant. I'm not saying physically go cut a head off of a leader. But we take it out. Just like God dealt with Herod. But I believe it was because of the prayers of the saints. All right, 19:12. Let me start with 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In his righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man but he knew but he himself." Where do the crowns come from? The giants we slay. The authorities. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." Who are they trying to take out? Us. Us. "And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. These are the crowns of the giants that we have slain in Jesus' name. When the strong man is bound, then we can spoil his house. The more you know about the target, the better. We are taking out a network, not one. Just like David, five. He picked up five smooth stones. The beast system is comprised of two top leaders, the Antichrist and the false prophet. The devil, if I'm hearing right, is not the strong man. He is the principality. His human representative is the strong man. He has built a physical network here for Satan, and we have pricks in our eyes and thorns in our sides because of it. Trump's executive orders on human trafficking and election interference are right in line with confiscating the strong man's houses and spoiling them and giving it back to we the people. David had to take out his giants, and we have to take out ours. Once their head is gone, Satan no longer has authority here. Isn't that what the Lord's telling us to do as far as His kingdom coming, His order coming, His government coming? What has to happen? These natural kingdoms have to come down. These natural leaders have to be taken out. All right, let me stop there. We have done half of it, but that isn't the whole picture. We must deal with the natural as well as the spiritual. In Acts, the church was interceding because of that tyrant, Herod. Well, he got taken out. Could this be the reason that God has us praying for all in authority first? All right, 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. If it was just binding the devil, that would be easy enough, but it is only half of it. There's more to the equation. Now, the Lord said He's moving us in a new direction. He's causing us to become snipers instead of carrying a shotgun and shooting a scatter load. He's going to show us how to target certain entities and certain ways where maybe strongholds of leaders come down that are not good, are not in order. But I believe the Holy Spirit will lead it. That's, you know, just like the church. They were praying for Peter, and they probably didn't even know it. So I want to encourage you. I believe this is good news here. Maybe we know now, maybe we'll be more effective. Maybe we'll see more happening because we have more of the picture.